Everyone knew before I did. That's the part that still tightens my chest when I think about it. The way conversations stopped when I walked into the break room. The way laughter arrived half a beat too late, like someone hitting play after pausing a video. The air smelled like microwaved leftovers and cheap lemon cleaner, and the fridge hummed louder than usual. Or maybe I was just listening harder. I remember the click of my mug against the counter, my hand shaking enough that I noticed it. I had been working late again, answering emails that weren't technically mine to answer, telling myself it was temporary, telling myself it mattered. When I looked up, they were standing too close near the copy room, not touching, not hiding either. His wedding ring caught the fluorescent light when he gestured, hers was gone. I felt something slide into place inside me, not shock exactly, more like recognition, a puzzle piece I hadn't known I was missing. And in that moment, before anything exploded, before jealousy turned sharp and dangerous, I understood something quietly devastating. This wasn't a secret. It was a decision, one the whole building was being forced to live with. By the time I joined the department, the affair was already part of the landscape. Not officially, of course. Officially, nothing was happening. Officially, they were just two senior managers who worked well together, who happened to arrive early and leave late, who shared a laugh a little too easily. Officially, both were married, stable, respectable, the kind of people leadership liked to put forward as examples. I came in as a manager overseeing a cross-functional team, which meant I sat close enough to power to feel its heat without being protected by it. The culture was polite on the surface, sharp underneath. People smiled with their mouths and watched with their eyes. Promotions were framed as merit-based, but everyone knew visibility mattered more than performance. If you were seen, you existed. If you weren't, you faded. They were always seen. He had been with the company for over a decade, steady, predictable, the kind of man who spoke about his wife and kids just enough to establish credibility. She arrived later, younger, but not young, competent in a way that made people uneasy. She challenged him in meetings, and instead of shutting it down, he encouraged it. That alone made her different. The first time someone hinted at what was going on, it came wrapped in humor, a joke about how inseparable they were. I smiled and let it pass. I've learned that jokes are how offices test what you're willing to hear. The second time, it came as a warning, not about morality, about fallout, about how things got complicated when personal lives bled into professional ones. I nodded and changed the subject. Management pretended not to notice. Or maybe they noticed and decided it was easier not to act. The results were good. The numbers looked right. As long as the work got done, boundaries were flexible. That was the unspoken rule. Don't embarrass the company. Don't force anyone upstairs to choose. What struck me was how open they became over time. Lunches stopped being discreet. Doors stayed ajar, but not wide enough to see inside. They didn't kiss or touch, not where it could be documented, but the intimacy was obvious if you knew how to look. The shared glances, the synchronized exits, the way he deferred to her in subtle ways that carried weight. I told myself it wasn't my business. I had my own team to manage, my own pressures. I was newly separated then, raw in a way I kept hidden, watching them stirred something complicated in me. Not desire, not approval, a kind of unease mixed with envy, maybe. They looked reckless and protected at the same time. The warning signs were everywhere. Team members started requesting transfers. Conflicts flared and went unresolved. Decisions favored their projects, their timelines. When concerns were raised, they dissolved into nothing. HR stayed silent. Leadership stayed smiling. I remember thinking, more than once, that this would end badly. I just didn't realize how close the danger already was, or how many people would get cut by the edges before anyone admitted the blade was there. The jealousy didn't start where people expected. It wasn't between their spouses, not at first. It started inside the building, quiet and corrosive. People who'd been overlooked began to seethe. A senior analyst, married herself, whose promotion stalled for the third year in a row. A project lead whose ideas were consistently shelved in favor of hers. A junior staffer who mistook proximity for possibility and got burned. Tension thickened the air. Meetings turned sharper. Emails got copied higher up the chain. I found myself mediating conflicts that had nothing to do with the actual work. Underneath every complaint was the same unspoken question: why them? They stopped hiding completely. He'd rest a hand on the back of her chair when he passed. She'd smile in a way that wasn't meant for anyone else. It was a provocation, whether they intended it or not. Management still did nothing. Results, they said. Focus on results. The point of no return came on a Tuesday afternoon, ordinary in every other way. A performance review cycle was underway. Decisions were being finalized behind closed doors. I was copied on an email thread by mistake, one that wasn't meant for me. It laid out the adjustments. Who would advance? Who wouldn't? Her name was highlighted. Others were quietly cut. An hour later, a confrontation erupted outside my office. Raised voices, accusations that spilled into the hallway. The analyst, shaking, demanding answers. Her voice cracked when she said the word affair out loud. It was the first time anyone had named it publicly. Security was called. HR stepped in. Suddenly, the thing everyone knew existed. The investigation moved fast, not to uncover the truth, but to contain it. Statements were taken. Language was softened. The narrative shifted toward professionalism and conduct. The dangerous part came after. The anonymous notes, the threats scribbled in bathrooms and slipped into inboxes. Someone followed her to the parking garage one night. She brushed it off publicly, but I saw the fear settle into her posture. He grew defensive, angry in meetings, lashing out at people who had nothing to do with it. I made a choice then. I went to HR with what I knew, what I'd seen, not to expose them, to force action before someone got hurt. I laid it out calmly, carefully, the open behavior, the impact, the risk. They thanked me. They told me they'd handle it. Nothing changed. The explosion came from outside, like it often does. A spouse showed up unannounced one morning, eyes wild, voice shaking, screaming accusations in the lobby. Phones came out. Security rushed in. The building froze. After that, things moved quickly. Too quickly. He was placed on leave. She was reassigned, then quietly exited. Official statements were issued about policy violations and personal matters. Management framed it as decisive action, as if the problem had just appeared overnight. The fallout spread anyway. Lawsuits whispered about, careers stalled, people left. I watched my own reputation shift, subtle but unmistakable. I was no longer just a manager. I was a risk, someone who spoke up. The danger didn't end with the affair. It lingered in the way trust eroded, in the way people stopped believing silence meant safety. I still think about her sometimes, about how exposed she looked at the end, how quickly protection vanished when it was no longer convenient. What stays with me most is how long everyone knew and how that knowing did nothing to stop the damage. It just delayed it, sharpened it. Affairs don't stay contained. Neither does denial. I left that company 6 months later. Not dramatically, quietly. And even now, when I walk into a workplace and feel that familiar hum of unspoken truth, I know exactly how dangerous pretending can be.